Welcome back to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer, and I'm going to try to get through this introduction without crying because this person has changed my life. And it's not just when someone changes your life, but it's when people come up to you and they say to you, Mr. Meltzer, I read your book, or I heard you speak, or I watched the video, and you've changed my life. And I wasn't so sure that was ever going to be a part of my life, but it is. And every time that someone says that to me, I think about the people who have elevated me, that gave me directions to where I wanted to be or better. And Sharon Lecter is absolutely one of those people. She's one of the people that has a talent or a skill that I share and I have developed from learning from her. And it's putting things into context. She's an expert in financial literacy. She's a philanthropist. She's a five-time New York Times bestselling author of, by the way, some of my favorite books of all time, including one which I'm listening to every day, which is somehow a future book written in 1938, which is called Outwitting the Devil. Most people know Napoleon Hill. Both of us are blessed to work with the foundation, and now I'm blessed to be the chairman of the Institute and look forward to working with Sharon on that. But Sharon Lecter, I want to say first, thank you, but most importantly, thank you for being here today.
You're going to make me cry, David. Thank you very much. It's an honor. I cherish our friendship.
I do too. And I want to start with Outwitting the Devil because a lot of people don't know that book. And it's a remarkable book about self and understanding how we drift away from our purpose. It talks about the singularity of purpose and controlling our impulses. And that's the way I define it. And you bring out in 2000, I believe, 11, something that they wouldn't release for so many years that Napoleon Hill had written. When you became an expert yourself in this content, I was curious how you saw your own life in the periods of your life where you maybe have drifted and how you have been able to control your natural human impulses in order to facilitate not only your own personal success, but millions of people around the world like David Meltzer who sit there every day and say, thank goodness, thank God for Sharon Lecter.
Thank you, David. I think we all have those turning points in our life. I mean, I built the brand Rich Dad around the world for 10 years, and I lost myself in that process. And so I made the decision to close that door and do something else. And if I had not done that, I wouldn't have served two as presidents, and I would not have had the call from the Napoleon Hill Foundation asking me to help reinvigorate his teachings in 2008. So I always challenge my audience and people I talk to about, sometimes is there a door in your life you have to close for other doors to open? And we sit in our own comfort zone. And Napoleon Hill himself was in that zone when he released Think and Grow Rich in 1937. He told the world, here's this thesis of success. Follow it and you'll be very wealthy. But he himself knew that something was missing, that people have fear that hold them back. So he added that last chapter, The Six Ghosts of Fear, in the original book. But in 1938, he realized he himself was not following his own principles. And he sat down, and if the word existed back then, he would have said downloaded, yes. Outwitting the Devil, because it was literally a couple of months. Think and Grow Rich, he spent 25 years on. In a few months, he wrote Outwitting the Devil. And his wife worked for the Presbyterian College. She was afraid of the title. She was afraid she'd get fired. So she forbid it from being published. And so got locked away in the vault for 72 years. Oh. And when it was finally released, he had died in 1970, his wife died, and his sister, when she died, it came to the foundation. And they called me and said, Sharon, we don't know what to do with this. And it was an incredible experience. The manuscript was sent to me. I was probably the fourth or fifth human to read it. And it was typed on a typewriter and had handwritten notes from Napoleon Hill. It's as if I was having a conversation with him. But in a couple of hours, it totally transformed me and made me recognize the pervasiveness of fear in our society. And in this book, he takes on every taboo there is: sex, politics, religion, education. He talked about
smoking.
Smoking before the world knew smoking was bad for you. Yeah. He talks about it in this book. It's such a man before his time. And I knew it had to get out because everything he talked about had come true. And people have this fear that holds them back. And in the book, he talks about how to blast through that fear. But to your point, we get paralyzed by fear. Fear either motivates you or paralyzes you. And the vast majority of us get paralyzed by it. And therefore, we do not receive and get to the level of success that we deserve, that God wants us to have. We self-sabotage. We hold ourselves back because that fear is in our subconscious. So he talks about how to release that in the book and how to find yourself again. And it spoke to me so strongly. And it really helped us bring Napoleon Hill's teachings to the younger generation who didn't even know who he was. And for me, younger is, you know, 50, below 50. I'm getting
That's
older.
Why I love
so
her.
They didn't know Think and Grow Rich. They didn't know Napoleon Hill. And this one is a little in your face, as you can imagine.
Yep.
And if you listen to the audiobook, I made them get two different actors. I said, the devil's voice has got to be grovelly.
Yeah.
And so I have people call me all the time saying, I had to pull off the side of the road. But it really is how we allow our negativity in our brain, our subconscious, to hold us back from achieving success and what we can do to get rid of that.
It's amazing.
You'll enjoy this real quickly. So Outwitting the Devil with Sharon. I love audiobooks, and I had my 14-year-old son, because he knew how inspired I was, he said, what is it? Can I listen? And I'm like, sure. I said, but if it bothers you, you can stop listening.
Yeah.
And I said, especially the devil. And he loved it. And he said, but Dad, they used AI for the devil, you know? And I said, this is the problem with today. I thought he'd be afraid or not listen to the devil's voice because it is very devilish.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, it's AI, you know, whatever.
You
know?
You were
it was before
to
AI.
Devil?
Yeah.
Like,
well,
no.
He lives with the actual devil. So.
Yeah. That was funny.
Yeah, it comes across like a radio drama.
It is good.
It's amazing.
Awesome. I love it. I love Napoleon Hill, too. I'm a huge fan.
You'll have to help me.
And so being a woman in New York City, a fourth-generation contractor, I usually feel like I don't belong in that room, you know, and being in a position where I scaled, where I made the money and I succeeded, and then I lost it all. Because I was so busy giving it away, you know, I lost the sight of even wanting money. It was never money for me. It was so much more than that. And to reference Napoleon Hill, one of my favorite stories is when he sat at the meeting table by himself and he used to envision whoever was sitting in the meeting room. And he used to go into his dreams and make these people appear, like Benjamin Franklin and all these people. He wrote stories on how he became himself because he used to make these people aware. And so sometimes I feel like my life is the real version of that. I've been sitting at these tables since I was 18 years old with some powerful people. And I always had that imposter syndrome. As a woman being in that position, you know, always, it was never about money. I just really wanted to give the money away. I always wanted more than that. I guess the generosity. But what could a person or a woman who's in that position really learn? You know, how could a woman make money work for them and own the position and belong there, you know, in a place that they're made to feel like they don't belong?
Well, it's a huge issue for women, the self-confidence. You can say, men have no problem saying, I'm an expert, right? Women say, well, I'm pretty good at it. You know, so you need to learn to be the expert and then become the authority. But it's very common for women to feel hesitant. They don't want to come across that B word, right? They want to be strong, but not looked at as too strong.
Boss.
Yes. And yeah, boss. Yes. And so it's really important for women to identify their own personal strengths and to have that spiritual mastermind you're talking about. That's a spiritual mastermind.
I love it.
Also have a true mastermind that can be there to support you, because whatever you're going through, other women have gone through as well. And we tend to kind of feel like we have to do it all on our own as a woman. We're supposed to be the master of all things, right? We don't need help. And when we realize that, yes, we need to support each other and find that network, that power of association. I talk about that in my book, 3 Feet from Gold. So, you know, your passion and your talent's all about you. That's what school teaches us. And most of us stop there thinking we have to do everything on our own. But in order for you to achieve the success that you've had an incredible team around you. So that's the power of association.
My family.
One of my most treasured associations is David Meltzer, right? The power of association. You have the mentor. You have people on your team who are strong where you're weak. And then times A, taking action. When we're in fear, we don't take action. And so it's understanding the importance of stepping outside your comfort zone, because your next success is not in your comfort zone. It's outside your comfort zone. And then all of that is wrapped with an F called faith. Faith in yourself, faith in what you're doing, faith that is needed, necessary, and faith that you will succeed. When I wrote Think and Grow Rich for Women, I changed the subtitle because Napoleon Hill was all success meant money. And I changed it success and significance. Because the vast majority of women, they're concerned about impact. Just like what you're saying, it's not the money, it's the impact. And your legacy is created every single day with every heart you touch, not when you're gone. And so we tend to be we have a lot of empathy. We want to help everybody. But that's why you need somebody on your team to help protect you and give you those boundaries to elevate you. Because you are the expert. Daddy. You are the authority in your field. And you should be very proud because, you know, I have several friends who are top in their companies in construction industry, right? And that's something for you. You've had to face a few barriers.
There's
along the way, haven't
there.
You? Yeah. Yeah. So congratulations to you. You are the authority.
Thank you very much. Love that. I appreciate you.
Thank you for being here. I was touched by your talk. It makes me think of a lot of people who've helped me along the way. But I want to talk about financial literacy for a second. You mentioned just briefly that men have no problem saying, you know, that I'm the expert. Well, that's not me for financial literacy. I've started two multi-billion dollar companies, and would barely consider myself financially literate. I've outsourced most of that or ignore it for the most part. But I noticed that you have advised two U.S. presidents on financial literacy. So I would just love some anecdotes or maybe make me feel a little bit better about telling me where the presidents were, how that worked, you know, educating them on their journey. I think there's probably many more people in my position than not. And so I'm just curious of what that experience was like with the presidents.
87% of Americans are stressed out about money right now. Mm-hmm. And 80% of men die married, 80% of women die single. So, and only 26 states, which used to be only five, now require personal financial education for high school graduation. We're up to 26, so that's a win, but we need to be all 50. And that's why you don't have the literacy that you want, because you were never taught. Yep. You know, you've heard the term the rich get richer, the poor get poorer, because that's what we learn about money at home. And if we truly want to level the playing field so every child has equal opportunity, we need to get personal financial training in high school and make sure every child has that opportunity. And, you know, it's criminal that we're not doing it. It's been my passion for 30 years, and I'm going to keep doing it until it gets in every single state. But it's really important because you're not alone. You've had tremendous success. The problem is we are raised in an environment where we say money doesn't grow on trees. Pinch your penny, save for a rainy day. I bet your parents said that to you, or they said we can't afford it. And so you grow up money negative, money negative, money negative. No wonder we develop the scarcity mindset. Yeah. That scarcity mindset is in our subconscious. We don't really realize it's there, but we get this fear around money. We're afraid we're never going to have enough money. And when you're truly successful, you're afraid you're going to lose it, or you're going to make decisions that make you lose it.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of people that I call Henrys, you know, high-end earners, not rich yet, because they haven't learned how to invest it.
Dave Meltzer.
Yeah. Tons of Henrys out there. And so it's really important to not just say, okay, I'm going to flip the switch. First, you got to figure out where you are financially, right? And you're in a position that you wouldn't take much for you to turn it and understand it. You have to start talking about money. You start talking to your children about money, and don't say to them, you can't afford it. Because what happens when you say, I can't afford it, or you can't afford it, it closes your mind. You want to get under the covers and turn off the lights. Instead, we can control our thoughts, our words, our actions. And so your thoughts are controlling your words and your actions. That's why you're not creating the wealth that you need, because you need to start up here and train your mind. And then with your child, instead of saying, we can't afford it, say, how can you afford it?
Yep.
Those kids can get very creative on how they earn money. Allow them to earn it. Celebrate with them. And the best gift is that you're going to see their self-confidence grow. And once a child knows how to make money on their own, there's no stopping them.
Yeah. Yep.
And so you have that opportunity as well. When you, instead of immediately going to, I can't afford this, stop. Say, how can I afford this? How can I create a new revenue stream to buy what I want? And then the most important word on earth, my favorite word, is assets. We are taught to think about income, right? Wages or even passive income. But passive income comes from assets. And once you buy, build, or create an income-producing asset, it's your employee with no personality problems.
Yep.
It's
no emotional
for you
expense.
In your asset column. And so you are financially free when the income from your assets exceeds your monthly expenses. But not a business that's a job. You want a business that's working for you, that you don't have to go to every day, right? That's working for you. That's an asset. And you continue looking for assets. I say assets are sexy. And the older you get, the sexier they are.
Thank God.
That's what feeds you. That's what gives you your time back.
Yeah.
Right? When you're working for money, you're on the rat race, you get tired. There's only so many days in the week, so many hours in the day. Assets give you your time back because they're out there working for you.
And that's
and so
only
if you focus,
if you focus on
assets, I think.
Yeah, I love this so much.
I was going to say one thing too real quick, that you know, your financial literacy is a genetic and energetic inheritance. And I was worth over $100 million in financially illiterate, as I know how you feel. And one of the things that I realized that I passed down to my children that I stopped was, oh, well, wait for it to get on sale. That's such a scarce mindset. My thing now, if someone ever says that, I said, no, let's go make the money to buy it now.
Yes.
Let's go figure it out. I want it now. And I don't need to wait for it to go on sale. I'm just going to make enough to afford that car at $5,000 over retail.
Yeah. How
that's
can
what
I afford it?
How can I? What can we? I love what can we do?
What can
we do? Especially with your children. What can we do?
It changes that scarcity mindset to an abundance mindset. And once you make that switch, the world opens up, because money is, you're either in control of your money or it's in control of you. And far too many people are controlled by their money.
Yeah.
So you can flip that switch, take control of your money, and you'll never look back.
Yeah. And I was going to say, to add with that, you know, I come from a very traditional family, Middle Eastern family. And my personal experience is, women in my household, we didn't feel the need to understand finances. It just wasn't the role in that household. Not good, not bad. It just wasn't the role. But then I remember 27, losing my father. And when my brothers and I went to my mom and said, okay, what do we got to do? What money do we have? Do we have any debt? She had no idea what we had, where to go, no understanding of the finances at all. Amazing woman, just didn't have that because she didn't need to have that role. And that was the moment for me as a woman where I had to understand, okay, I need to educate myself here a little bit, because now I need to break that generational cycle. So for you, I know you're doing a lot of work with women and financial literacy. I'd love to see, do you see that changing in today's world? Do you see a difference between cultures, countries, society? I'm just curious on your overall experience, what you're seeing with women in financial literacy.
Well, thank you for that question. My most recent book is How Money Works for Women. And we talk about those exact things. I bring in women from every decade of life, from 19 to 86, and about the various things that happen to women that impact them financially. But what you just shared about your mom, many widows out there, they have no clue. And they have no credit in their own name because their husband took care of everything. And they find themselves literally dropping their level of economic security because they don't have a clue. They can't even access their own assets. And so it's very important that women educate themselves. And yes, I do see it changing. I do see people, young women becoming more aware. Young women are now become, they're better investors. They have a higher return than men. A lot of times they get together and they do the research. But sometimes women get into analysis paralysis. And so they don't take the action. So that's why it's better for men and women to work together and have those money dates to talk about your how your parents dealt with money so that you kind of uncover those issues that you need to deal with in your relationship. But it's very important for women, young women, older women, to understand money because we already control 60% of the domestic wealth in the United States. And trillions of dollars are coming to us in the next 20 years. It's inherently our responsibility to understand how to receive it, how to invest it, how to grow it, and how to protect it for future generations.
I love that.
And I love Sharon Lecter for that very reason. She's empowering not just women, like I said. She harmoniously is looking how men and women can have those money dates. And it's good enough to have a date night with your wife, but to include a certain amount of time. As my wife and I have each quarter a night where we also have a date, but we go ahead and separate, create goals and then get together to see how financially we can meet those objectives. And it's really helped in our relationship and understanding the history of where we come from genetically and energetically. There's too many books to read in one sitting, but I promise you, if you go down the Sharon Lecter rabbit hole, you will be thanking me and Sharon, because I guarantee it will improve your life for the better. It's a divine direction, how to relate and to deal with divine detours. Mm-hmm. But also to understand divine timing and risk tolerance in everything that you do. We are blessed to have someone who comes from the divine, a hero of mine, a mentor, a teacher, and a coach, bringing the best out of me for years now. And I'm glad she still thinks I'm young, because she is young in my heart as well. The incredible Sharon Lecter, thank you for joining us on Office Hours.
Thank you so much, David.